If you would now, just for the next few minutes, if you'd open your Bible to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, this is a familiar passage of Scripture, a familiar account that many of us, I'm sure probably everyone in here is familiar with, the story of Jesus at the well, talking with the Samaritan woman. And a lot of familiar verses here, and we're not going to take the time to read through the entire passage. We all understand the setting here, but we'll just kind of introduce it here. Jesus and his disciples are leaving the southern area of Israel, Judea, and they're going to go into Galilee for the purpose of ministry. Jesus is going to go up into Galilee and minister up in that area. And Jesus says to his disciples, if you see there in verse number 4, John chapter 4, verse number 4, he must needs go through Samaria. This is an interesting thing because if you're familiar with it, obviously the Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. In fact, they hated each other. So much so that if a Jew was traveling from Judea to Galilee, they would go around Samaria. They would take every effort to avoid interaction with the Samaritans. We know this because when Jesus stops there at the well outside the city of Sychar, we see there In chapter 4 and later on there, we see in verse number 7, there cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Look what the Samaritan woman says to him there in verse number 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We see here that the Jews and the Samaritans were at strife against each other. There has a hatred there. So much so that the simple request of a drink of water was something that didn't occur between a Jew and a Samaritan. I mean, it's something now, you know, for me, it's kind of hard to wrap my head around that I would have a distaste for someone so much that I wouldn't even consider asking a drink of water. Yet we see that's the case here. The Samaritan woman is surprised that Jesus would acknowledge that she existed at that moment at the well and turn to her and ask for a drink of water. We know that the disciples have gone away into the city to get food. We learn that later as Jesus talks there with the Samaritan woman, we learn why Jesus needed to go through Samaria, because he knew he was going to meet this Samaritan woman and have the opportunity to what? Witness to her, to tell her who he was. And we see there later on in the chapter that he reveals to her who he is in verse number 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The woman had just said that she knows that the Messiah is coming and they're looking for the Messiah. And Jesus tells her, I that speak unto thee am he. And we see here that Jesus reveals to this woman who he is. We see that she believes in Jesus that day. And she goes back to the city. And what does she do? She tells the people of the city, come see a man that's told me everything that ever I've done. The excitement of that she's met the Messiah that day at the well. And as the Samaritans are now coming out of the city of Sychar, they're coming out to the well. Why? To see this man named Jesus, who this woman has told them about. And we see here, now look with me in verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. The disciples have now come back from the city. They brought food and they offer it to Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, my meat, verse number 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We see here this discussion with the disciples that day. And then we come to verse number 35. Verse number 35 is a very familiar verse to all of us here this evening. It's a verse that I've heard used in mission conferences and in mission meetings all the time. And it's a wonderful verse. But in verse number 35, the Bible says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Jesus presenting this question to his disciples, saying, "Yeah, isn't it true that there are 4 months and then the harvest comes?" He's speaking of a physical harvest. You plant the crop and then you have to water it and it grows, and there comes a time of harvest. And most cultures all throughout the world, there is a certain time of harvest. Harvest time. And Jesus is saying, "Say not either yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." And the disciples probably agreed, yeah, harvest is 4 months away. And they're thinking of this physical harvest. We have to understand this here. And then the Bible says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest." Jesus is saying to his disciples, he gives them this question, you know, you're looking at a harvest that's 4 months coming. But he's saying, "I want you to look up and see the fields now. Look on the fields." And he says, "For they are white, already to harvest." What is Jesus telling his disciples here that day? Is he talking about a physical harvest? No, he's not. He's talking about a spiritual harvest. You see, the disciples were looking forward to what? The ministry in Galilee. The disciples were looking at what was going to happen in Galilee. That was where they were going. That was the intent and the purpose of their trip. And Jesus was the one that said, "We're going to go through Samaria." The disciples, that wasn't their desire. That wasn't their intent. They were looking at Galilee. And Jesus is telling his disciples that day, "I know that you're looking at a harvest that is yet to come, 4 months, and then cometh harvest." But he's telling them, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields." What is he trying to get the disciples to look at? Well, look at me with me at verse number 30. "Then they went out of the city and came unto him." Who's being talked about here in verse number 30? This is the people of the city of Sychar. The Samaritan woman has gone back into the city. She's told them all about this man that she met out the well named Jesus, and how he is claiming that he is the Messiah. And she's telling them all this thing. And the Bible says that they are coming out of the city to the well to see Jesus. And Jesus is wanting his disciples to stop for a moment, to look up and see the harvest field of the Samaritans coming at that moment. He says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest." We've already discussed how there was a hatred and an animus between the Jews and the Samaritans. And we have to think the disciples more than likely passed this Samaritan woman as they were going into the city. And what was the reaction of the disciples? It was probably to pass over on the other side. They probably ignored her. We know that because if we look back in verse number 27, as the disciples are coming back to the well, they say, and the Bible says, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman." Even the disciples didn't quite understand why Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman. We see here that even the disciples were being blinded by their bias that they had against the Samaritan people. And it says that they marveled that he talked with the woman. And we see here that Jesus was showing his disciples that yes, there is a harvest to look forward to in Galilee, but don't forget about the harvest field that's right in front of you. And tonight, there are harvest fields all around this world. There are harvest fields in Australia. There are harvest fields in the Philippines, in Mexico, in China, all throughout the world. And those are good. And we need to look and we need to focus on those harvest fields. But we must not lose focus on the harvest field that is right in front of us. The harvest field of our community, of our town, of our city, of our state, of our country. We must focus. The Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, we heard this yesterday, we are to be witnesses both in Jerusalem and to the uttermost. At the same time, we can't focus on one and forget about the other. Hey, guess what? You may be focused on the harvest field right in front of you. Maybe you are active in reaching the harvest field of your community, of your city, of your town, of your state. But what about the harvest fields of the world? What harvest field is Jesus trying to get you to look at? He said, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest." I have to say that for each and every one of us, there's times where we miss the harvest that's right in front of us because our focus is somewhere else. And sometimes that focus may not be wrong, and it may not be bad. The disciples' focus was on Galilee. That was a good thing. They were looking forward to the ministry and what Jesus was going to do in Galilee. That wasn't wrong. That wasn't a bad thing for them to be focused on. But because of that, they were overlooking a harvest that was right in front of them. Each and every day as we go throughout our life, we have opportunities to look up and see the harvest in front of us. Are we taking those opportunities? Are we looking at those harvest fields? Are we lifting up our eyes, or do we ignore them? We see here that not only were the disciples focused on one harvest field, but they were intentionally closing their eyes to another because of a bias that was already in their life. The Jews and the Samaritans and the background that they had. And you may say, "Well, I don't have any bias like that today." And I'm not here to say that there's anybody like that, but we all have biases in our life. I mean, I can't tell you how many times growing up, going out downtown Oklahoma City to pass out tracts or going door to door soul winning, that I see someone, and what happens? In my mind, I say, "I don't want to talk to that person. They don't look like they want to hear what the Bible has to say. They look like they might get mad at me." And what do? We avoid them. We turn away. We go find someone else to give a tract to. We quickly give it to them and go away. We allow our fear and of what could happen to keep us and prevent us from giving them the gospel. That is a harvest field that Jesus wants us to see each and every time. We can't let what we think and our biases prevent us. We can't let the busyness of our lives prevent us from seeing the harvest field that's before us each and every day. Where is your focus? Is your focus on world missions? Well, that's great. But are you focusing on world missions at the expense of the mission field across the street, in your neighborhood, at your place of business? Or maybe your focus is on the neighbor, the coworker, the family member. But what about world missions? Our focus needs to be on the entire harvest field, not just one area, not just one person, but every person needs to hear the good news of the gospel. We see here Jesus showed, and we didn't take the time, but later on in the chapter, we see that many believed because of the word of the woman. Many believed on Jesus because of the witness of that woman that day. But the Bible says later on in that chapter that many believed because of what they heard Jesus, when they heard Jesus speak. They believed on Jesus. The Bible tells us that they abode there 2 more days. And there was a great harvest that was reaped in those 2 days because Jesus obviously saw the harvest field. But he had a desire to show his disciples that the harvest wasn't just in Judea, wasn't just in Galilee, but in Samaria also. Let's make sure that we don't have any Samarias in our life that we're overlooking and missing out on and missing the harvest that God has prepared for us because we're just overlooking it. Pastor.